You know that this is.
Good morning. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come, and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them, before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark, and the clouds return after the rain, when the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men stoop, when the grinders cease, because they are few, and those looking through the windows grow dim, when the doors to the street are closed, and the sound of grinding fades, when the men rise up at the sound of birds, but all their songs grow faint. When the men are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets, when the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags himself along, and desire no longer is stirred, then man goes to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Remember him before the silver cord is severed, or the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring, or the wheel broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Everything is meaningless. Not only was the teacher wise, but also he imparted knowledge to the people. He pondered and searched out and set in order many proverbs. The teacher searched to find just the right words, and what he wrote was upright and true. The words of the wise are like goads, their collected sayings like firmly embedded nails, given by one shepherd. Be warned, my son, of anything in addition to them, of making many books. There is no end, and much study wearies the body. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. Next reading is from Thessalonians 4:1. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the morning to coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words.
Thank you, Juliet. So if you could please have your Bibles turned initially to Ecclesiastes 12 and then to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're on part 7 of our letter, or Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, the church in Thessalonica. And you have a sermon outline there. I'm going to pray before we begin though. Heavenly Father, help us now as we deal with a tricky topic. We're going to be talking about what happens when we die, and that could affect people. So we pray that we would be wise and caring in how we deal with this topic, and that we would leave here with hope. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning we're tackling the question, what happens when we die? But before we tackle that question, I want to put the context of what we're dealing with as far as Paul writing to the people in Thessalonica. So here's the context. Around about 33 AD, Jesus died on the cross for the sin of the world, offering forgiveness of sins to those who believe in him. And in doing that, Jesus proves he has power over sin. 3 days after his death, Jesus is raised back to life to show he has power over death as well. And he offers people who believe in him their own resurrection and eternal life if they choose to believe in him. For 6 weeks after his resurrection, Jesus was seen alive by about 500 people. And then he ascended, went up to heaven in a cloud. And the angel that was present at the time when Jesus ascended said one day Jesus will return the same way that he went to heaven, in a cloud. And then in AD 52, roughly, the Apostle Paul established a church in Thessalonica in Greece, and then he wrote this letter. And in chapter 4 of this letter, the verses that Juliet read, the Thessalonians are concerned that if Jesus returns, which they thought he would do any day in their lifetime, what will happen to Christians in Thessalonica who've already died? Will they miss out on this wonderful event of Jesus returning? The return of Jesus is known as the parousia. It's a Greek word, and it basically means coming or second coming. And that's what I call the title of the talk today. And so in these verses, Paul reassures the Thessalonians exactly what happens when they die and what exactly happens when Jesus returns. So that's the context. But before we look at Jesus' return, I'd like us to look at two other things first. Approaching death, and we get that from our Ecclesiastes passage 12, chapter 12. And then we'll look at what happens when we die, and then we'll look at the return of Jesus. So that's the order we're going to do it in. So first, approaching death. So if you could turn to the Ecclesiastes passage, chapter 12. And the writer, who we believe to be King Solomon, is writing in his old age, and he explores the meaning of life. His conclusion is life on earth is meaningless. It's temporary. It's just like vapor. It's steam. It disappears. Or it's like a bubble when you pop the bubble. And then he concludes that we should remember how God created us, especially in the days of our youth. Says that in verse 1. Because as we get older, we will find no pleasure in getting old. So I'm going to make you feel old for a while, okay? If you're not already feeling that way. And so what follows in the rest of chapter 12 is a bit of poetry. It's a poetic look at what life is like when we get old. Okay? Verse 3. The keepers of the house start trembling. What he's talking about is our hands and our legs start trembling. You see that with people when they get older. Verse 3 again, strong men stoop. Their legs and their knees, they start weakening and causing them to stoop. You might want to tick these as you go along. Just to see how you're going, all right? If you get them all, you get a prize at the end, okay? Someone said something? Okay, yeah, fair enough. Verse 4, the grinders cease because they are few. Your teeth fall out and chewing becomes difficult. And there were no false teeth back then either. Okay. The windows, looking through the windows grow dim. Or those looking through the windows grow dim. It's your eyes. The doors to the street are closed. Pretty tricky, that one. You can't hear outside. Like when you're younger, you can hear what's going on outside, but as you get older, you can't. The sound of grinding fades. Again, your hearing gets worse. People rise at the sound of birds. You wake up early. That's if you sleep at all, right? An ant sneezes and you wake up, right? It's not that funny. Come on. Okay. All their songs grow faint. Again, hearing. But there's also less appreciation for songs and music, especially loud music. People are afraid of heights and dangers in the street. Generally, people, as they get older, they get more fearful, don't they? They're afraid to go out. They're afraid to answer the door. They're scared of a fly or an ant. They just generally get more timid as they get older. The almond tree, or almond, where I come from, tree blossoms. Any ideas on that? Your hair turns white or grey. Hasn't happened, has it? The grasshopper drags itself along. So the idea is that grasshopper is quite active, but as we get older, we used to be active and buzzing around and jumping around, and now we can barely put one foot in front of the other, right? Desire no longer stirred. The passion and zeal for life lessens and dwindles. The silver cord is severed. Our spine weakens. The golden bowl is broken. Our brain, our skull, our memory fails. The pitcher is shattered, and the spring and the wheel broken at the well. Our heart and our lungs deteriorate. So Solomon's conclusion about life in verse 8 is meaningless, meaningless. What's the point? Well, thankfully, there's more to life on earth than just this. Because the writer of Ecclesiastes, King Solomon, says earlier in chapter 3, he talks about another life. He says, He, God, has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. So he's saying there's a mystery, but yet God has put eternity in our hearts. So there's something beyond this life on earth. So now you're feeling much better about getting old. We'll talk about what happens when you die. Well, according to our passage, Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7, our body turns to dust, either through burial or cremation, and the dust returns to the ground where it came from. And remember, the first man, Adam, was created out of dust. So that's what the writer is referring to. And our soul, spirit, we better explain what our soul is. It's the immaterial part of us, designed for eternity. And the spirit is the immaterial part of us that connects to God. So our soul, our spirit, returns to God who gave it to us. That's what happens when you die. And we know that believers in Jesus go straight to be with the Lord because of what Jesus said to one of the thieves next to him on the cross who believed in Jesus. Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." And we know that non-believers go straight to hell when they die because Luke 16 verse 23 says that the unbelieving rich man was in torment in hell. And he looked up and saw Abraham far away in heaven. And never the two shall meet. So Christians, when they die, their soul goes to heaven immediately and their body is buried or cremated. And non-Christians, when they die, their soul goes to hell immediately and their body is buried or cremated. Which now brings us to our New Testament passage, which tells us what happens next. So if you want to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 from verse 13. So what happens next is that Jesus will return someday. We don't know when, but he'll return. And he will come back the way he went. That's in Acts 1, verse 11. And the Thessalonians knew Jesus would return because Paul had taught them that. And they thought it was going to be soon in their lifetime. And so they were worried what will happen to the Christians who are already dead when Jesus returns. Will they miss out on this wonderful event? And Paul says, no, they won't miss out. Because he says in verse 13, those who are asleep in death. So Paul uses the term sleep to show that Christians being dead is kind of temporary. And the Greek word used is komen, which means to be put to sleep, and gives us the Greek word kometrion, which means a sleeping place or a dormitory. And when we get into Latin, that gets changed to coemetrium, and then in French it's cemetery, which is where we get cemetery from. So it's kind of like a sleeping place. Paul says those Christians who are asleep in death are not like non-Christians who have no hope. He's saying all Christians have the certain hope they will go to heaven. Because, he gives a reason why he has that certain hope. Because in verse 14, Paul's evidence is the proof of Jesus' death and resurrection. His death for our sins to be forgiven, and the evidence of his resurrection, showing his defeated death and offering us eternal life. That's Paul's evidence for this certain hope. It's all based on Jesus' death and resurrection. And so in verse 15, Paul says, those Christians who are still alive when Jesus returns, they won't take precedence over the Christians who are already asleep, i.e. dead, because in verse 16, Jesus himself will come from heaven on that cloud, just like he went. And still in verse 16, Jesus will come with a loud command, a voice of an archangel, and the trumpet. It's a victory call. Then the dead Christians will rise from the dead first. Then in verse 17, the Christians who are still alive will be caught up. And that's where we get this idea of rapture. That's the verse about the rapture. They'll get caught up with the risen Christians to meet the Lord in the air. It's flying time, friends. I've always wanted to fly. Here's my opportunity. And all Christians, as Jenny said to the young people, will be with the Lord forever. What about non-Christians? Well, Hebrews 9:27 tells us, all people must die and all must face judgment. As it says, just as people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment. And this judgment involves all people appearing before Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Jesus, so that each of us may receive what is due for us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Now, when this judgment is carried out, Jesus himself says, everyone will hear his voice and rise. He says this in John 5, verse 28 and 29. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear my voice and come out. Those who have done what is good, that's believed in Jesus, will rise and live in heaven. And those who have done what is evil, not believed in Jesus, will rise and be condemned. That is hell. So, three applications for us to take home with us today. Number one, as Christians, we can draw comfort and encouragement from knowing that when we die, and we don't need to worry about dying, our soul goes to be with the Lord immediately on death, and we have a certain confidence that when Jesus returns, we'll get a resurrected body, and our faith means we will live forever with God in heaven. And Paul wants us to encourage others with this truth, he says, because it means we have a certain hope. Second, for non-Christians who die, there's no hope of heaven. The only option is hell. So it's absolutely critical that they come to believe in Jesus before it's too late. As Jenny said, they need to make a decision. Now, on any given Sunday here, I cannot assume that everyone here, and that's no offense to anyone, that everyone here is a Christian. So I'd like us to just bow our heads, and I'm going to say a prayer for those who don't believe in Jesus. And if that's one of you guys, you might want to say it to yourself as I say it. So let me pray. Dear Lord, I admit that I am a sinner. I have done many things that don't please you. I have lived my life for myself only. I am sorry, and I repent, which means I turn back to you, God. I ask you to forgive me. I believe that you died on the cross for me to save me. You did what I could not do for myself. I come to you now and I ask you to take control of my life. I give it to you. From this day forward, help me to live every day for you and in a way that pleases you. I love you, Lord Jesus, and I thank you that I will spend all eternity with you. Amen. So if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you might want to come and chat to myself or one of the elders or anyone here, and we can come and talk to you and pray with you and help you in your new life as a Christian. Now, the third application is that we don't know when this parousia, this second coming, is. We don't know when it will happen. So there's a great urgency for all of us to be telling everyone that doesn't know about Jesus actually what Jesus gives us. He gives us the forgiveness of our sins and eternal life. because we don't want anyone missing out on that. In the meantime, let's take on board King Solomon's conclusion to our life on earth. He says this, "Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter." So here's what we do in the meantime. "Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil." We can't hide it from God. Let me pray. Thank you, Father, for your Son, that he has purchased forgiveness and eternal life for all who care to believe. Thank you for his blood on the cross. Help us to be diligent in sharing our faith. Help us to be encouraged by knowing what happens when we die and having that hope of eternity. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to sing our final hymn. The trumpets are going to be blasting. Off you go, Chris.